Thank you, Beyonce. You needed that this morning.
Yes, we did. Thank you. Thank you, Beyonce.
All right, ladies.
It is Friday. The weekend is here. It is time to get some gaming on.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
It's bad. I'm actually planning out what kind of gaming I'm going to do.
Yeah, I've already got some Left 4 Dead 2 planned, and maybe some Black Ops, I don't know.
Well, I have many, many weddings to photograph.
Many, many this weekend, so.
Holy crap.
Oh, man.
I'm just like, that's what I spent a good portion of last night doing, was shopping for not sexy dresses to wear to these weddings, because, you know.
Yes, because that's about all you have.
Because my Second Life boss is like me in Second Life, exactly like myself. Yeah. So I know how difficult it is to work for me, because we are exactly alike. I just don't bother to argue. I'd be like, where I need to be and what time. So, yeah, that's what I'll be doing most of the time. But in between there, I will be getting some choice gaming in. Oh, they going to fix my Sims for me. I tell you, my Sims was freezing up, did I?
No, you didn't tell me.
I don't know what they did when they released a patch the day after Generations came out. And now I don't like it. My Sims are frozen in place. I'm trying to build houses and the walls are like missing for a minute. And then they finally load up. It's like Second Life. It actually is rezzing. I'm not happy.
Wow, that's not good. That's not supposed to happen.
No. Not at all. Not a happy story. Not happy at all.
No, I wouldn't be either.
Mm-mm. Well, I will tell you, lovely people, for some reason in all the hoopla, we forgot to tell you, we forgot to create these lovely new sections for the new consoles we have out. So those are up, but there's only like one story in this section. But if you really want to know what Ubisoft's first title is, we'll be telling you about it during the show, because I'm all off today. We're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. We're crazy.
We are crazy, but it's the good kind of crazy, usually.
And I, of course, am the craziest, Corey.
Yes, she is, actually. She's very crazy.
Mm-hmm. And that lady over
there. But we love you, Corey.
That lady over there?
Mm-hmm.
That lady right there is Ginger.
I am Ginger. Yes, every day of the week, I am Ginger.
Have you seen Marianne? Usually. You seen Marianne? She's...
No, I buried her in my backyard.
Along with the rest of the crew.
She was always trying to steal the spotlight.
The fearless crew of the Minnow is buried in Ginger's backyard.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Yes.
Selling their various goods on eBay.
SS Minnow this. All right.
Exactly.
You couldn't get us off the island. Let me tell you what I'm going to do with you. Okay. So, Ginger, what interesting news do you have? Because I see there is tons. Even though E3 is over, the drama has not stopped.
Well, the first thing I'm going to start with is Codemasters.
Yes, I saw that. Ooh, juicy. Mm. Tell them.
I had a piece of candy in my mouth. I'm sorry. All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning. Codemasters hit with a major security breach.
Ooh.
Dude, people hackers, what is wrong with you? All right, so Codemasters is alerting customers that its servers were breached by unknown... I'm going to lose my voice. Fine.
Work it out. All right,
so they were breached by unknown hackers on June 3rd, and personal information of its users may have been stolen. According to the email, several areas of its website that were compromised included Codemasters.com, the Codemasters corporate website and subdomains, the Dirt 3 VIP code redemption page, and the Codemasters e-store.
Oh.
Yeah, the e-store worries me. Data that may have been compromised from the e-stores include customers' names and addresses, email addresses, telephone numbers, encrypted passwords, and order history. Payment details were not at risk from this section of the site because Codemasters uses an external site for payment transactions. Way to go, Codemasters! Data taken from the Codemasters CodeM database include members' names, usernames, screen names, email addresses, date of birth, encrypted passwords, newsletter preferences, any biographies entered by the users, details of last site activity, IP addresses, and Xbox Live gamer tags. Wow. The email warns customers, whilst we do not have confirmation that any of this data was actually downloaded onto any external device, we have to assume that access, that as access was gained, all of these details were compromised and or stolen. Codemasters advises its customers who use any of the aforementioned services to immediately change their passwords. Further, the company warns that it will never ask you via email for any payment data such as credit card numbers or bank account details, nor will Codemasters ask you for passwords or other personal identifying data. Emails that ask for such information are fraudulent. The company closes with the following statement. Unfortunately, Codemasters is the latest victim in ongoing targeted attacks against numerous games companies. We assure you that we are doing everything within our legal means to track down the perpetrators and take action to the full extent of the law. We apologize for this incident and regret any inconvenience caused. We are contacting all customers who may have been affected directly. Should you have any concerns or wish to speak to a member of our customer services team, please email them at customerservice@codemasters.com.
Wow.
Hackers,
well,
would you just cut this crap out? What's the point?
Right, interrupting my gaming. I have to stop and put in new passwords and stuff. I got to come up with a whole new list of passwords in my head. I just made a new list.
When we find you, and do not think that you're not going to be found. When we find you, you are not going to like how pissed off gamers can be. You're not going to like what happened. Just saying.
Right.
You're going to wish your mother had taken that pill.
Oh, she went there with the pill. Run, y'all.
I did. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to share a lovely press release I just got in my mailbox. I love when they get them in just under the wire. It literally was within seconds. There's a new video game marketing report that's out for this year already. And for those of you out there that was saying, oh, this video game thing is a fad, it'll go away. Mm-mm, we're not going anywhere. They're saying the market has seen consistent growth over the last few years. In 2010, the UK video games industry was worth about $4.65 billion, which is a 2.8% rise on the previous year. And the market, of course, has seen consistent growth over the last few years, with the exception of 2009 when it fell by 5.7%. But we all know what was going on then. This was principally down to a lack of new products and the economic crisis, which we're just starting to come out of. This, of course, caused consumers to rein in their spending on unnecessary items, which would be video games. So the range of consoles on the market at present has become somewhat stagnant in recent years. And as a result, the three main console manufacturers, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, have reacted by releasing extensions of their consoles that incorporate motion-sensitive technology. Why did they throw Nintendo in there? They always had theirs. They didn't add it. Of course, they're talking about the Xbox Kinect and the Sony PlayStation Move. This new type of technology has proved extremely popular with consumers, although a new generation of consoles will be needed in the next few years in order for the market value to continue to improve. Mm-hmm, Nintendo, right on target. Since their release in 2007, smartphones have increased in popularity and provided a boost to the market value. The highly successful iPhone and Android phone ranges have been the main reasons behind the accelerated uptake of mobile phone gaming. Thousands of games are now available to download and for free, while others can be bought and to download at a relatively cheap price of around 59 pence, or what we call 99 cents here, or a little more, of course. Now, although this price is a fraction of the price of dedicated console games, the volume of mobile games sold is much larger, which we all know. However, like other similar creative industries, the market is suffering at the hands of internet piracy. Damn hackers. As a result, the industry has invested heavily in preventing consumers from downloading free copies of video games from the internet by including a chip in consoles that disables this type of piracy. Yes, but you're not putting it in the computers. That's where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I should be one to talk. This new form of secure technology has been evident across the current generation of consoles and is expected to become even more sophisticated in the future. The UK, of course, is one of the largest consumers and producers of video games in the world, and they love us. It sits alongside the U.S., Japan, and other European countries as one of the highest spenders on video games. The U.K. is the leading force in terms of video games development in Europe and is home to 48 of the world's top 100 development studios. We can't even boast that here, Big Bad America.
Nuh-uh.
So the video games market is forecast to see a considerable growth in terms of value over the next 5 years, so they're expecting it to rise by 23.3% from 2011 to about 2015. So that's about a rise of about 4.7 million to 5.8 million. Furthermore, the next generation of consoles are expected to be released over the coming years, which should provide additional boost to the market value during the forecast period. And some of the companies they're saying are the heavy hitters, Activision and Blizzard, who with World of Warcraft never go away. EA, they're the devil, but they never go away. Konami, Microsoft, of course, Sega, who stopped putting out consoles and started making games and started kicking ass. Sony, even with all the trouble, and Ubisoft. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the your big boys that they say are going to contribute to the market, and they're not going anywhere. So interesting reports. And that comes from our peoples over at the Business Wire. Thank you guys so much for sending that to us this morning. Don't I sound like I'm going to say, and the next song is going out to Sally.
Yes,
from,
you do.
From Jim. He says he loves you with all his heart.
He didn't mean to run you over with that car.
He didn't mean to run you over in GTA.
And he
says, baby, you can ride co-pilot with me anytime. And and here we have, from the soundtrack of Left 4 Dead, Grounds for Divorce. No, that's bad. Okay, so, Ginger, what do you got?
Oh, my God. All right. I have actually got Duke Nukem Forever.
Again?
Again, I know, right?
He is forever.
He's all over the place. 2K Games and Gearbox Software announced that the wait is over. Duke Nukem Forever is now available. Mm-hmm. What was once thought unattainable is now available in stores worldwide. Always bet on Duke. Always. 2K Games and Gearbox Software are proud to announce the legendary Duke Nukem Forever has arrived and is now available in the UK on the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Windows PC. For over 15 years, fans have waited in video game purgatory for the launch of the almost mythical Duke Nukem Forever, and now June 10th, oh crap, hey, sister, by the way, if you're listening, happy birthday, will forever mark the day that the magnificent king, I totally forgot, I'll call you in a little bit, that the magnificent king triumphantly returned to kick alien ass and chew bubblegum.
He's fresh out of bubblegum, right?
He's fresh out of bubblegum. Mm-hmm. Christopher Hartman, president of 2K Games, says June 10th in the UK will forever be celebrated as the day that the legendary Duke Nukem Forever went from video game folklore to earth-shattering reality. For 15 years, fans have waited in limbo just yearning to hear those two lovely words strung together, now available. Today, the acronym DNF changes its meaning to a day to never forget. I'm proud to announce that the wait is finally over and that Duke Nukem Forever is truly now available. Over 15 years in the making, Duke Nukem Forever has become one of the most hotly discussed and eagerly awaited entertainment properties ever. For more than a decade, the game has gone from being highly anticipated when it was announced in April of 1997 to mythological status when all signs of it would disappear for years on end, to finally earning its rightful place atop the video game throne with the June 10th, 2011 UK launch. Come on, what, the UK gets them and we don't? Well, that's fine, y'all can keep
them. Hey, UK is saying they're getting ready to take over. I'm happy that they love us. That's all I have to say. I'm happy to be loved.
I love you, UK peoples. Mm-hmm. From the game's inception, the legendary George Brassard and his team of immensely talented and passionate designers, artists, and programmers at 3D Realms devoted themselves to bringing Duke Nukem Forever to market. When all appeared lost, a small team of dedicated developers known as Triptych Studios saved Duke Nukem Forever from what seemed like vaporware death and resurrected the king. Their heroic efforts, alongside Gearbox Software, Piranha Games, and many other contributors, finalized George's dream by bringing the full-fledged AAA title to retail. Apologizing to no one, Duke Nukem Forever is the high octane video game equivalent of a Hollywood summer blockbuster. Starring the legendary Lady Killer and Alien Slayer, Duke Nukem Forever introduces gamers to a blastastic time filled with head-popping, bone-rattling action, brazenly crude humor. Those two words together don't work. And possibly statuesque women dying for affection and catchy one-liners that will have you laughing out loud. Oh, my God. All right, so Duke Nukem Forever is rated BBFC-18. And for more information on Duke Nukem Forever, please visit DukeNukemForever.com.
I so thought you were about to say something else. I was like, hey, this is daytime show.
No, I was good.
All right, well.
Well,
we still got more news pouring out of E3. Yes, it's over. It was over yesterday, but there'll still be things that we'll be posting. Like, I have a horrible trailer from the Disney Connect Adventures. Somebody out there likes it. I'll put it up for you. Maybe you didn't see it. Your eyes aren't bleeding enough for you, so I'll go ahead and share. You like eye bleeding.
Enough yet, but yes. We'll help out.
But some great and wonderful things happened at E3. Come on, voice, work with me. Wow. Hello. Some great and wonderful things happened that had nothing to do with actually the big three. Four Crave Online team members apparently broke the Guinness World Record for longest video games marathon playing a fighting game at the Nonstop NOS Gaming Lounge at E3. They played, well, let me lay it out for you. Of course, Crave Online is one of the fastest-growing next-gen male lifestyle sites. Now, normally we wouldn't say anything about this, but we like to give props because they broke a world record. We need to get some girls in there to do it next time. And, of course, this is from NOS. A NOS Energy Drink announced today that Christopher Bryant, Paul Cellino, well, there was a girl in there, Melissa Estuinta. Yeah, you need a new name. And Lance Moose have broken the Guinness World Record for the longest video games marathon, playing a fighting game by playing 32 hours. The record-breaking victory took place at the Crave Online Nonstop NOS Gaming Lounge right outside of the Los Angeles Convention Center during E3. The Guinness Book World Record adjudicators were on hand to monitor the gamers and present them with an official certificate announcing the breaking of the world record. I'm going to need more than a certificate. I'm going to need a trophy and some cards to GameStop. What's wrong with you people? Gaz Deves, who's the gaming editor for the Guinness Book of World Records, said he was very impressed with their commitment and resilience. He said the toughest part of a challenge like this, of course, is the 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. stint, but the team cruised through it without flinching. That's not tough for a gamer. Are you kidding me? They definitely earned their place in the Guinness World Records Gamers Edition. Crave Online's nonstop NOS Gaming Lounge allowed E3 goers to witness the Crave Online team members fight for the record by playing Mortal Kombat on PS3. Excuse me. And the visitors were able to play along alongside the Crave Online gaming team on two other screens and consoles in the lounge. The nonstop DJ was there spinning tunes throughout the competition while NOS models fueled the gamers and visitors with NOS samples. No, bad, no booth babes. In order to break the previous records, the gamers had to play a total of 31 hours straight. They were each allowed 10-minute breaks every hour. We're very proud of our Crave Online team members for powering through 32 hours of nonstop video game playing to break this world record. That's from John Kiefer, who's the vice president over Crave Online. He said, of course, NOS Energy Drink was the perfect partner to fuel our gamers onto victory. To coincide with the on-the-ground lounge, Crave Online's nonstop NOS hub was the ultimate online destination for users to check out all the action from Crave's. You know, I'm going to need y'all to stop mentioning your thing, okay? Anyway. I'm done reading the story, and we've posted up a copy for you if you'd like to read the rest. And you can also pop over to iCraveNOS.com and watch them break the record if you are into seeing that. But congratulations, guys. That's quite a feat. We'll probably break it, and we're going to use 5-hour energy drink. We're not going to drink NOS, so ha. I'm just going to drink like a whole gang of those. I'm going to put it on the side when I start to go to sleep. We need to try that.
All right. There is some breaking news.
Uh-oh. What you got?
World-breaking news. Spain arrests three hackers suspected of belonging to international cyber attack group Anonymous.
Wait. Slow that down. Say it again, because GLaDOS creeped in there.
GLaDOS. Screw you, GLaDOS. Look on me. Spain arrests three hackers suspected of belonging to international cyber attack group Anonymous. Am I still here? Did I get dropped?
No, you're still here. One more time, because I'm slow. One more time.
Spain arrests three hackers suspected of belonging to international cyber attack group Anonymous.
All right, I got enough. Now, go ahead.
Is GLaDOS still a hold of me?
No, I just wanted to hear you say it a couple more times.
All right. Spanish police say that they have arrested three suspected computer hackers for allegedly belonging to loose-knit international activist group that has attacked corporate and government websites around the world. A national police statement issued Friday identified the three detainees as the leaders of the Spanish section of a group that calls itself Anonymous. Police said a computer server in one of their homes was used to coordinate and carry out the cyber attacks on targets, including two major Spanish banks, the Italian energy company Enel, and the governments of Egypt, Algeria, Libya, Iran, Chile, Colombia, and New Zealand. The statement said the only other countries to act against Anonymous so far are the United States and Britain. Wow. So way to go, Spain. Awesome. See? Anonymous, we told you. You can try to be anonymous all you want. You're not that anonymous.
We told you it was coming.
We told you we'd find you.
Climbing in your window, snatching your hackers up. Okay.
So hide your servers.
She went. You know what? After that, I feel like playing some Uplink. You who've never played Uplink, I think Uplink is abandonware or something like that. Go check that out. Wonderful game. Simulates hacking. I'm not telling you to do it for real people, but a fun game to play. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you people out there that have been loving or hating the Wii U, but you're like, I'm going to buy one anyway, for whatever your purpose is, to smash it on camera, I don't know. It really doesn't matter. Whatever the case may be, they're saying, guess what, guys? Only one Wii U controller per system. When the console shifts, it only comes with one, and you will not be able to buy an additional controller at launch, which is normal for Nintendo. Couldn't buy other Wiimote at launch either. At least not at my Target. They were being stinky.
Yeah, I want to say it only came with one Wiimote in the beginning.
Well,
you had to buy a separate one.
Yeah, it came with one, but when I was in the store, and remember I told you guys that I had a constable escort us all into the store. And they were like, get your console, that's what your ticket says, and get your two games that came with it, your Wii Sports and your Legends of Zelda, and get GTFO.
And get out.
GTFO. And they walked me back to my car so nobody would mug me. But, yeah, so this particular time, same deal. You cannot buy more than one at launch. Nintendo's Shigeru Miyamoto confirmed this news, and this is from GamePolitics.com, but said that if more than one fancy new controller is needed, users could hypothetically use their 3DS. Awesome.
Hypothetically.
Yes, and see, you got about a year before this one hits the market, so you can pick up your 3DS, and by the time the Wii U comes out, you have your money ready to get it. So, yeah. He says, our basic premise, of course, is that you can use one Wii U controller with a system. Miyamoto told news.com AU, which is Australian news site, says, if we got to an idea of having multiple controllers, it might just be more convenient for people to use their Nintendo 3DS and have a way to connect it, which in an odd way is money saving. I know it doesn't seem like it if you buy a 3DS, but would you rather buy an extra controller standalone? Because it's going to be way more expensive than that 3DS, I'm going to tell you. He says, we're not sure if it's simply an issue of keeping costs down, see, or a technical hurdle that Nintendo hasn't figured out how to overcome yet, but Miyamoto says they're looking into it. He says, we're doing research about if someone brings their controller to their friend's house and they want to play together on Wii U, to whether or not something like this would be possible. That's also Game Politics via Eurogamer. So that's interesting. I kind of like the idea of using the 3DS. It does save you money, especially you people out there that have like 12 children. Yeah, you got them all 3DSs for Christmas because it'll happen. And then when you get the new Wii U, you don't have to buy any more than that one controller. And everybody's happy. You know, you can play with them and everybody's happy. I'm always looking for you families. I'm looking out for y'all. All right. I got crazy people sending me stuff on Twitter. Good morning, Twitter peoples.
I hear them. They are all over your Twitter, aren't they?
We are so loved. I love that we love. And a shout out to Berta Kamad and Hope Gaming over there. How y'all doing this morning?
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have got some news.
I do.
Somewhere. GamePolitics.com this morning. Senators successfully bully Apple on DUI app.
What?
Mm-hmm. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, actually. In late March, four United States senators voiced outrage over iPhone and Android apps that alerted users to local DUI stops being conducted by the police. It bothered them so much that the four got together and penned strongly worded letters to the CEOs of both Apple and Google, asking them to ban these apps from their respective marketplaces. 3 months later, and one company has complied with the wishes of Senators Harry Reid, Charles E. Schumer, Frank Lautenberg, and Tom Udall. According to the revised app developer guidelines uncovered by Mac Rumors, Section 22.8 offers an addendum. Apps which contain DUI checkpoints that are not published by law enforcement agencies or encourage and enable drunk driving will be rejected.
Oh, that's not encouraging drunk. You don't have to encourage anybody to drive drunk. They just do it.
Yeah, drunks are going to drive because that's going to be the drunks. Now, the first point that anyone with even two working brain cells should take issue with is the line about app developers encouraging drunk driving. To suggest such a thing is pretty insane. The second issue is what data these apps provide. Sure, some of it comes from crowdsourcing, user sharing info with other users, But the checkpoint notifications mostly come from the very law enforcement agencies conducting these DUI stops. As the law, they have to publish that information to the public, and most states, law enforcement, as a rule, believes that publishing such information is a deterrent against drunk driving. They do it for the same reason they tell local TV and radio stations about DUI checkpoints and stops on holiday weekends. It stops people from driving drunk. But none of that matters because the Senate has successfully bullied Apple into banning these apps altogether. It's one of the many reasons why people, right or wrong, want to jailbreak their iOS devices.
Yeah, we had a whole argument about that last night in that train wreck of an E3 show we had.
But that's fine because you know what? Apple no longer has scroll bars.
Yes, because that's what it's about, scroll bars.
Exactly.
Those evil scroll bars.
Evil scroll bars.
Apple now has some competition.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see. I've made this analogy before, or comparison. This is Godzilla versus Mothra, Apple versus Nintendo. Oh, my God, it's going to be so good next year. Oh, can't wait for that fight. I got me some popcorn already. Okay. Let me say hello to Molly Pop, who says we sound lovely. We said we sound horrible. We're saying we sound horrible, but she said we sound so, so lovely.
Oh,
all right.
You.
Isn't that sweet? All right. I got too much going on in my office for today. Okay. More and more news, and I had some and I lost it. All right. Oh, yes, yes.
What we have here
is
see, Molly Pop, you see what this is all about?
All right. So here's some people having some issues with cloud gaming. Well, and I am not exactly completely clear on the cloud gaming. It's not something we're kind of paying too much attention to just yet, but we probably should because people are having some serious issues. Cryotech CEO Servat Gurley told the press that he believes cloud gaming is the inevitable future for the industry, but that current solutions will need a lot of polish before they're successful. And this is him talking to Gamma Sutra at E3. He spoke of his optimism for the new model, albeit couched in terms of terms which express need for caution. He says, as well as OnLive, they're pioneers in that particular area. He said, but he also thinks that current cloud gaming solutions could be dangerous in a way from a business perspective. He says, I have concerns about the way it's approached, but I think cloud gaming is the future, inevitably. The two current market leaders really sees Gakai's model of serving demos via browser ads to be more sustainable, despite a need for evolution to overcome business issues and scalability issues. Are you very familiar with cloud gaming, Ms. Ginger?
I'm not. I'm really interested in it, though.
We probably need to give them some attention and love, so maybe this coming week. Yeah, we'll look at that. Also, they're saying necessary, or he's saying necessary for the future of cloud gaming is bringing publishers on board for devoted stream optimized content. He says his own studio's game Crysis 2 was shown running on Gakai's technology at E3, but he made it clear that it would never perform as optimally via a stream as it does running natively. So Crysis 2 isn't built to be scaled on a cloud. Crysis 2 is not a cloud game. Crysis 2 is a client-based game that is running on a cloud. And yes, it has the benefit of that scalability on the client side, but it is inefficient on the server side because it's not meant to be on a cloud. Until this is overcome and people build proper cloud games, this will always be the business issue. He also announced that the Eurogamer Network would be the service's first European media affiliate, allowing users to play demos and games via browsers without leaving the site. Isn't that kind of what GameTap is doing and has been doing for years, and it actually is working for them? And again, if somebody out there is more familiar with cloud gaming, please correct us if we are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't know. Because they've been quite successful. As a matter of fact, I mistakenly let Ginger see GameTap, and as soon as it occurs to her what all is there, like it did for me, we may lose her for a couple of weeks. I had to go to her house and put an IV in her arm and stuff and put a funnel in her mouth and pour liquid in and be like, Ginger, come back to us. No, I've been playing all of the Civilizations, and I've played through all of the Lara Croft games, every single one. Ooh. That's not a bad idea.
Ooh, Lara Croft games.
Yes. You know what? We didn't say, none of us said we were excited about Lara Croft last night, by the way, which I am very excited about, the new Tomb Raider. Very excited.
She looked much better than the old Tomb Raider, so yeah.
Yeah, and it's not on Kinect, so I'm very happy about that. Ooh, I'm going to need y'all to stop with the Kinect. All right.
All right, true story. Okay, Call of Duty people, I got some news for you.
You said,
Call of Duty. I'm sorry?
You said duty. Okay, go ahead.
Duty. Call of Duty Black Ops Escalation available now on PlayStation 3 system.
Ooh.
Yeah, Call of Duty Black Ops Escalation, the latest content pack from the record-setting Call of Duty Black Ops, is now available on the PS3. Escalation features four new multiplayer maps, an unprecedented zombie experience, including famed director George A. Romero, Robert Englund, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Michael Rooker, and
wow.
Danny Trejo.
Wow, they got big dogs. Go ahead.
They did. As well as an original music track from Avenged Sevenfold title Not Ready to Die. Hot. The Escalation content pack's new multiplayer maps include Hotel, where players battle it out on the roof of a Cuban luxury hotel and casino against the vivid backdrop of Old Havana. Convoy, which delivers intense close-quarters combat at the scene of an ambushed U.S. military convoy. Zoo, which sets gamers on an eerie ride through an abandoned Soviet-Russian zoo with danger at every turn. Stockpile, which pits players in a remote Russian farm town using secret WMD facilities. Call of the Dead Escalation's zombie experience that assembles a zombie carnage dream team to fight against a new and undefeatable zombie horde menace, all set in the dark, ice-covered Isles of Siberia. Treyarch studio head Mark Lemia says, for the millions of dedicated fans playing Black Ops each and every day online around the world, we crafted for them unique multiplayer maps and experiences with Escalation that will allow PS3 players to continue enjoying the game for a long time to come. And with Call of the Dead, we went all out to give our loyal zombie fans a totally new creative to enjoy. All right, that was weird. Call of Duty Black Ops Escalation can be downloaded for the price of $11.49, whichever L is. I don't know. Linden dollars? Cookies? Something. From the PlayStation Store or PlayStation 3 system. Developed by Treyarch and published by Activision, Call of Duty Black Ops is rated 18 by the BBFC for blood and gore, intense violence, and strong language. For additional Call of Duty updates and information, you can visit them at the website callofduty.com/Black Ops.
Wow.
I'm
really amazed that they got all those people, especially Sarah Michelle Gellar, because she's known for not doing voiceovers in games. She wouldn't even do it for her own game, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, she apparently did it.
I guess she learned the value of having your voice in a game.
Mm-hmm. You gotta have those paychecks keep coming in once you're old.
Is that what it is? That what's got her going? Gotta stay relevant, people. All right. Well, more people come. You know, these people are all just breaking into complaining. I don't want you to complain. I want you to fight. Okay, just fight.
No complaining. Just duke it out.
Yeah, just go ahead and hit
that. Here's a golf club. Go at it.
Yeah, go ahead and just take it out on each other, preferably on the E3 floor. That would be good. You know, that would be such a good thing next year at E3. Just put them in a ring. You know, we put EA against Microsoft and Microsoft and Sony and just put some oil on them and let y'all just pull it out. Just do it.
We're going to go next year, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to carry on baseball bats and golf clubs for people and then starting fights.
I'm going to call it the Dev Wars. That's what it'll be.
Dev Wars. Oh, I like that.
Dev Wars 2. When was 1? It's got to have 2. It sounds better. So Activision is saying mobile is a double-edged sword, or a.k.a. a dirty word. Activision Publishing CEO Eric Hirschberg has maintained that the firm will resist. Yes, I said resist the full move into mobile gaming. People, give it up. He did an interview with the New York Times where he claimed that Activision would remain focused on core games, despite major competitors such as EA increasingly moving to iOS. He said there are 400,000 apps on the iTunes App Store. I don't want to be number 400,001.
True.
No. Instead, Activision plans to use services such as Call of Duty Elite, which sees iOS and Android apps to support its console brands. He said, what we're trying to do is use new technologies and new devices in gaming to strengthen our core business. We don't just want to go and spread our roulette chips around the table.
Mm-hmm.
Really? To this end, he did not feel a mobile version of Call of Duty was pending, although he admitted the new platforms held some appeal. Mobile was, he exclaimed, a double-edged sword. On one hand, you have a huge install base. Apparently, I'm GLaDOS'd out.
A little bit. I can understand you, but you sound horrible.
I'm sorry, GLaDOS, go away. So he says, on one hand, am I better?
A little bit.
Okay. On one hand, I have a huge install base, but what we're not doing is just shotgunning all of our games onto mobile. However, Activision is more determinedly exploring mobile with its impending cross-media Spyro project. You know what this sounds like? I'm an old man. I don't know what the social is, so I'm just not going to do it. We're just going to say we're not going to do it. I think you guys need to – wow, so much love this morning from Twitter. Hi. We know you're there. We know you're listening. Thanks for listening. I think they need to – I don't think they need to port anything to the iOS because, yeah, a lot of people are doing that. But you probably need to look at making something, some other experience. I don't know. There's tons of ways to do this. You know, we should go into game design consulting or something. I'll come up with some.
We should.
Really?
Be like, no, that one's horrible. Don't do that.
Yeah. I come up with ideas, and years later they implement them. But see, if you just come to me in the first place, you would already had it.
Mm-hmm.
EA, I want paycheck. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding.
Where's my paycheck?
Get my paycheck. All right. Yeah, I think my pills are kicking in. No. Don't worry, people. Just aspirin. Y'all get testy. All right. So. Molly has me cracking up here on Twitter. Sony has been talking bad. She says we should instigate the fight. Sony, Microsoft has been talking bad about your mama. You going to take that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Molly, we love you. That's
We're going to keep her.
Yes, we are.
I'm retweeting that. Hilarious. All right, Ginger, what you got?
I have got Red Faction Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Unleash hell on Mars and Red Faction Armageddon. Lead the Red Faction against its most dangerous enemy yet, an explosive sci-fi sequel. All right, you're going to have to bear with me because I don't know who wrote this, but yeah. All right, so Armageddon is upon us today with the release of THQ's Red Faction Armageddon, available now on the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Windows PC. Red Faction Armageddon expands on the critically acclaimed science fiction franchise, building on the events of Red Faction Guerrilla, as well as sci-fi live-action movie Red Faction Origins. As destruction expert Darius Mason, your journey will take you from the frozen poles to the molten core of Mars as you wage war.
It's some rage involved.
Sorry. As you wage war against the Red Faction's greatest enemy yet. Built on the groundbreaking Geomod 2.0 destruction engine, players can take advantage of total environmental destruction, collapsing huge Martian structures on their enemies, rebuild all you destroy with the Nano Forge's incredible repairability, creating new gameplay scenarios never before possible. In addition to the single-player campaign, players will earn points in the explosive ruin mode as they creatively destroy the world around them, chaining together explosive combos as they smash entire buildings into each other. In the four-player cooperative infestation mode, defend the colonies against wave after wave of alien invaders and carry over weapon upgrades and cheats, such as the hilarious Mr. Toots Unicorn Cannon for use in the single-player campaign. Oh, my God. All right. So, what is Red Faction Armageddon? Half a century after the Red Faction resistance freed Mars, the Red Planet again becomes a battleground. Colonists struggle for survival in the underground mines after the surface is rendered uninhabitable. When Darius Mason's grandson of Revolution Heroes Alec Mason and Semania unknowingly releases a long dormant evil, Armageddon is unleashed on Mars. As settlements are torn asunder, only Darius and Red Faction can save mankind. The battle will take them to the core of the storm-blasted planet through ice caves and lava flows until they are face-to-face against the unspeakable threat. Red Faction Armageddon expands on the critically acclaimed best-selling franchise with new groundbreaking challenges. You are humanity's last hope for survival. On Mars, of course. Redfaction.com if you want some more information.
All right. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't even know what to say to that. It's that's one of those. Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
Good for you. Well, you guys out there watching that show called Game of Thrones?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not, but I've got friends who are.
Apparently they have a game, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore because that's just wrong. Okay, I told y'all about making games from shows, especially when you don't give us any details. Yeah, we already know it's going to be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
However, I am all for a True Blood game. I'm just saying.
An MMO, yes. Please. Oh, please. That'd be so awesome.
Yes, I was up at 4 o'clock this morning watching the last season catch up. Oh, I love me some Eric Norseman.
I just bought the DVDs, so I got to sit down and watch them now.
Oh, and I can't tell you the other one I love because if you just got it, you haven't gotten to it yet. Y'all know who I'm talking about, that werewolf guy. Mm.
God, he's so hot.
Oh, you know him? Oh.
Oh, I've watched all the season. Girl, I was not going to be missing that. I was online to watch that as it was streaming live last year.
Awesome. He is so rare. I don't know his character's name on the show, but his real name is
Alcide?
Alcide? Is that his name? I don't really care. I know his real name. Joe Maggi. I can't say it. He's Italian. Awesome. That's a beautiful guy. He needs syrup on him. Okay. So anyway, we're about to take us a quick break because we got about 4 minutes before we go into non-streaming. So those of you listening live, about to download to hear the rest. I was about to so go into my late night DJ voice. Freaking allergies. Oh, good God. Ginger. You have any requests you'd like to send out to Jane?
Get out alive.
Jane says to you, Bill, out there.
You better hope you get out alive.
I hope you get out alive. After she caught you playing Call of Duty with her sister.
Oh, bad.
Leroy, we're sorry that this is going to happen to you, but here it comes. You know, every time I hear that, I'm picturing Leroy getting hammered. What's the one that we like, the Charger? That's what I picture.
Yes.
Ran in and picked him up. Yeah.
And that big one.
Remember, you can find this and other news, all our news, gamernation.com, gamergirlsradio.com. If you love us, please favorite us. If you don't love us, favorite us. We will see you guys bright and early Monday. We'll be fresh. No more E3. We're so tired.
We are so tired. Good Lord, people, you and all your news. Oh.
And if anybody cares out there, the Disneyland Connect trailer is up on our E3 page. I don't know why you want to watch it, but maybe you do. Go check it out.
And if you care... No, never mind. That's not nice.
That's just a man.
That's not nice. Stop myself. This is my last time, she said, as you faded away.
Find us this weekend.
Okay, nowhere to find us this weekend.
Let me just say, we invite you all to play with us on Second Life. Please do not pop up in the middle of these people's weddings because they will cut me and you. There is real money. Yeah, there is real money involved. I do not want to get cut. I will cut you for messing with my money. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, is it my turn? It's my turn.
I do believe it is your turn.
Well, I got the EA document that shows digital filling retail falling short in the U.S., here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. This is a new report by the ESA, which runs E3. Did y'all know that, ESA?
No.
Yeah, they have shown a continued increase in the market share for digital software along a slight market shrink and rising adoption of casual gaming. Now, the report apparently begins with a quote from the ESA president and CEO, Michael D. Gallagher, and setting the report's somewhat biased stall out early. He said it is critical that we support economic sectors that create jobs, develop innovative technologies, and keep America competitive in the global marketplace. I agree with you completely. He said the video game industry is one of those important high-tech economic drivers. Our industry generates over $25 billion in annual revenue and directly and indirectly employs more than 120,000 people with an average salary for direct employees of about $90,000. We got about $2 of that money. Okay, so... As the report shows, the North American market has shrunk marginally from $16 billion in 2009 to about $15.9 billion in 2010. But last year, $5.8 billion of that was made up of other delivery formats as opposed to $5.4 billion in 2009. Those other formats include not just digital downloads, but casual, social, mobile, and subscription titles. $2.94 billion was spent on peripherals in the territory last year, with a further $6.29 billion spent on hardware. Much of the data suggests the market is broadening considerably, offsetting a reduced spend by core markets with increased penetration into demographics with more money but less time, who are more likely to indulge in Facebook Scrabble than a Call of Duty deathmatch. I know. 72% of U.S. households play games. The average age of the North American gamer is about 37. And in 2010, 29% of North American gamers were over 50. And get this, only 58% of you out there are guys. That's the rest of it's us. 55% play games on phones or handhelds. And the average adult gamer has played for more than 12 years. 68% of American parents believe gameplay provides mental stimulation and education. What are you watching over there, Ginger?
Oh, you know, you open up stuff, stories, and you go to load a trailer and it starts. Yeah.
Okay, more stats are 59% are believing that the computer and video games provide more physical activity now than they did 5 years ago. And lastly, 98% are confident that ESRB ratings are accurate when they rate things. ESRB. The trends in the report, of course, are continuing ones, but the data sourced from NPD reflects an increased importance being placed on the digital market, thanks to an improved tracking of digital of download titles, or rather, nonetheless, a lack of input from leading online PC download services such as Steam means there are certainly gaps in the figures, despite a conscious split of the computer and video, all other games in the paper. That's really interesting.
That is really interesting.
Very, very interesting. I wish they had named exactly how many of us were playing, but we can surmise from the 58% that are male that the rest are us. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll take that.
Yeah.
But I completely agree with him. We need to hold on to the innovation instead of being angry. Even the small innovations, I'm all for. I want to see new games, something fun.
Yes. We want to see something fun. We're tired of these boring games.
Oh, my. More Wii U news. Well, I guess why did they... Yeah, I'm not going to ask any questions. Sometimes we get crazy PRs. Yeah. This has nothing to do with what the title is. Don't you love when they send us that?
Yeah, I totally love when they send us that.
Mm-hmm. But what you got, lady?
I have got Sega Alan Pritchard Talks Used Games PSN Security Woes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com and a recent interview with GameSpot. Sega's Executive Vice President of Marketing, Alan Pritchard, talked about used games, the PlayStation Network's security breach, and Aliens Colonial Marines. The more interesting topics relate to Sony's security woes and what Sega representative thinks about the effects of the used games market. On the topic of the PSN security breach affected Sega financially, Pritchard said, "I don't think we can allow it to affect our relationship regardless of what we think. We need to work with Sony, and we do have a good relationship with Sony. It has affected us because it's down. We can't sell games." Sega's rapport with Sony remains unchanged following the PlayStation Network outage. When asked about a specific monetary figure, Pritchard declined to answer. He says, "I wouldn't like to quote a percentage or a monetary figure of how much it's affected us. However, digital and console download is very important to us, and we've had great success with Sonic 4 Episode 1. It was the number one selling title in its launch month. We've got Renegade Ops coming out later this year, and by the time that releases, everything will have smoothed over for the PSN. Everyone who makes content for that service has been affected. Poor old Sony, it's been a horrible month for them, being beaten up by the press and what have you. As long as it's fixed and it's future-proofed and is future-proofed in time for our big news new releases, then it's no problem for us." Finally, on the topic of how much used games affect Sega personally, Pritchard offered the following comments. "It's often a hot topic and in other territories as well. It's a difficult one, I think. It's clearly a model that's unlikely to go away, and it does work for certain retailers. I think that some retailers do have the ability of linking pre-owned to new release sales and helping pre-owned drive sales of new releases. So from that perspective, you could say that there are advantages for publishers. I think there are some positive promotional aspects. It's very difficult to ascertain. Very difficult." In closing, Pritchard said that his company has no plans to implement a $10 online pass system to combat used games, but the idea has been and will be kicked around. You can read the whole story over at e3.gamespot.com. Yay! Are you still there? Did I lose you?
I'm still here. I was like, don't go to GameSpot. You stay with us.
Oh, yeah. Don't go over there. Go with us. Because, you know, we've got the fluffy cakes and we're better. And we brought you the story. They're going to make you look for it. We actually wrote it to you. We're awesome.
Hey, you didn't have to.
Not bad.
You didn't have to go nowhere. No, not your bad. Okay, so. Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. All right, so I'm just going to read this lovely story I found at Game Politics. Lovely. We always quote them. They're a good site to visit.
They are. We love them.
Well, experts are telling you teachers out there, shut up, listen, and use video games. I've said this before. Professor John Hattie has some free advice for the modern-day teacher. Shut up and listen to your students. Use video games as a tool to foster engaging educational experiences. While the director of the Melbourne Education Research Institute at the University of Melbourne aimed his comments at teachers in his home country of Australia, the free advice is global and universal in nature. Professor Hattie says teachers need to stop spending 80% of their classroom time talking and start listening to their students. When teachers stop talking, deep learning takes place, said Hattie at a conference of educators in Parramatta this week. He says it's our concept of ourselves as teachers that we have knowledge and we need to impart it. Speaking 80% of the time in conversation means I'm waiting for you to stop to have a chance to talk, he continued. In counseling, you have to do the opposite. You have to listen, and that's what I want teachers to do. He has apparently analyzed more than 800 students that assess educational strategies, educational strategies for 300 million children. But the one thing that he believes needs to be looked at is how much time teachers are spending talking and for the sake of talking. And now while teachers do need to talk to share their wisdom, Hattie says that 80% of classroom time is just too much. And he goes on to say that teachers should stop looking at teaching as just a job where kids come to school to see them work. Very interesting. Professor Hattie said teaching children how to play the game of learning can produce dramatically higher improvements in learning than solutions that are typically sought by politicians, such as smaller classes. He says our job is to help teachers see learning through the eyes of the kids, and the great thing is when they do, teachers change. And that came actually from the Sydney Morning Herald through Game Politics. I completely agree. I have many of you hear me talk about the Fab Five. I think at least three of them are in education. One's a teacher, one's a child psych that works in a high school. And I remember showing the teacher, actually I have another friend that's a teacher too, showing The Sims, the very first one, and her seeing it as a great teaching tool for the little ones because it teaches them that things have value. I mean, you don't have to let them play the you know, the sex parts, obviously, but we sat down with two little girls she had with her, and they played The Sims, and within a couple of hours, they and to understand how a household works. And, you know, that when you buy furniture, it costs money. And if your sim doesn't work, they don't earn money. And those are concepts that they need, kids need to grasp early on so that they don't, you know, you don't grow up and have one of these kids that thinks, Mom, I need $400 pair of boots. Yeah, I know you make that much a week, but I have to have the boots. So it was real interesting within the hour to watch them buying furniture and, you know, trying to figure out how they were going to get carpet for their house. And, well, we only have, you know, 200 simoleons left and we still got to eat. So really he's dead on that video games is an excellent teaching tool. You just have to figure out how to use it. And she was really excited. She's like, I can't wait to get, you know, my laptop and take it back to my class. And say, you know, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you guys a sim and say you got a week or two to, you know, get them up the corporate ladder and, you know, make sure they eat and stuff. So just got to figure out how to do it. You guys out there that are teachers, excellent tool.
It does sound that way. Definitely does sound that way.
Yes. All right, we got 3 minutes. You got a quick one you can squeeze in?
I do. Kaz Harai says, we may never know who hacked us. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com because we love them. It is E3 week, and actually this came out yesterday after the show, so we kind of missed it. So E3 is over now. But it's E3 week, and that means that top executives make the rounds to as many media outlets as possible. Sony's Kaz Harai is no exception, speaking to a number of publications in North America and Europe this week. In an interview with the BBC, Harai admits that Sony has not been able to catch whoever breached the PlayStation Network's security in late April, and it is not exactly sure what they might have taken. All they really know is that they've accessed user data and took some of it. Kaz Harai says, with regard to the 100 million compromised accounts, we do know that the information was accessed. We don't know, however, what part of the 100 million accounts were taken from our servers. This is what Harai was telling BBC. For example, it might be 100 million first names. It might be 100 million last four digits of a phone number. It could be the entire account information. We just don't know. But I think the people that intruded our systems were very good in hiding their tracks as they left our systems, so we may not know for a very long time, or we may never know. Sony has fully restored all of its services, including Japan, and claimed during E3 this week that activity on the PlayStation Network was back up to 90% of what it had been before the security breach.
Well, it seemed to be working fine when I played, so.
Yeah.
So I was happy. I was enjoying my Infamous.
Ooh.
I'm playing some Little Big Planet today.
Oh, I need to get me. Mm-hmm. Mm. Colors good.
You want a PlayStation 3?
I do.
It doesn't. I am gonna need them. They're redoing their page. I'm happy. It doesn't come across very friendly. It's very confusing. I accidentally created a new user. I can't figure out how to get it off. And it's been 2 years. I just have an extra user. Mm-hmm. All right, people, we are out of here. We will see you over the weekend. Somebody is asking to play Black Ops with you, by the way, Jen.
Oh, really?
You want to check Twitter. And it is a girl. It's not a guy. So hopefully.
If she doesn't mind me getting horribly killed again and again, I will play with her.
Yes. I'm not. It's not that I'm not a Black Ops. I don't have it. And I got too much to play already. I have too many.
I die a lot.
And on that note. Get him, Jen.
And they had just announced that they finished recording their latest season. I can't wait.
I gotta go back and get caught up. Really?
Yes, you do. So good.
Hopefully they'll do another video to help.
Yes, I do hope. That'd be awesome.
I was trying so hard to put this on each one. I was saying, people go and request it. That would have been awesome, right?
That would have been awesome, people.
Off nicely for the weekend.
Goodbye, boys and girls.